Eyelid surgery is the most popular plastic surgery in Japan, with over 150,000 procedures occurring in 2019.
150,000? Yes. Dang. Oh, that's the... I think we mentioned this briefly before, too. Maybe in another episode when we had talked about plastic surgery?
Yeah, but I think that was Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Japan that loves their eyelid surgery, too.
Yeah. I feel like it's more common in East Asia, maybe? Mm-hmm. Or sort of in those areas then.
Not even just East Asia. I think like Southeast Most Asia places. Too. Like
yeah.
Asian countries in general. Quick fun fact today. So yes. We can just get right into it. But also, you haven't started watching Squid Game, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well.
I haven't started at all, but I know it's good. From the way that people have described it to me, I feel like people who watch Squid Game would also really enjoy watching Alice in Borderland.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say, because we're doing Japan. I was like, you know what? Speaking of Squid Game and Japan, there's another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love watching Alice in Borderland.
Oh, like, you've watched that one?
Yeah, I have. And so, I don't know. I thought it was really good.
I heard that Alice in Borderland was better than Squid Game from my friends who have seen both. I haven't
okay.
seen
well,
Alice
I'll watch Squid Game yet. And then I'll let you know.
Okay,
we'll
do.
Hi!
I'm Tammy.
I'm Leanne.
And you're listening to Incrimination.
Meow! We're making different noises, I guess. Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Nope. Let's move on.
Yes, we're going to move on. Anyways, sorry about missing 1 week. This episode is a week late. Maybe you noticed, maybe you didn't, but we have lives. Mine got busy, so I couldn't do my research. So here we are.
It's okay. We're here. Yeah. Better late than ever.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think we have anything else to go over.
Not really.
Nope. Okay, cool. Sounds good. We're just going to jump right into it then.
Yep.
Today's case takes place in Japan during the late 2000s, and so the sources that I used mostly came from The Guardian, NBC News, as well as an article from CTV News here in Canada.
Late 2000 means that it was pretty recent then, hey?
Yeah. It's like 2007-ish to 2011-ish. Yes.
10 years ago?
Fuck, that was 10 years ago, yes. According to CNN, this case captured the attention of everyone the same way that the Casey Anthony case did in the United States. So, you know, it's kind of a big case. It's kind of mysterious. It's got all the, I don't want to say drama because I'm sure you've seen it, the Gabby Petito case. I feel like it's just when people get so obsessed with it to the extent where they forget that there are humans behind this. These things happening shouldn't be at the enjoyment or entertainment of people, especially like in real time. And I think that's also why we avoid covering cases that are happening very recently too, because it's like there's still stuff coming out about it. And so that was a really brief aside, but this this case will sort of take you on the same roller coaster as many others. Mm-hmm. In October of 2006, Lindsay Hawker, who was 22, graduated from Leeds University in England, where she got a biology degree, and she decided instead to go to Japan to teach English because she, I guess, didn't want to continue down the route of biology. And I feel like it's kind of common with a lot of people who get a degree and then they just maybe want to do something different after having been in school for so long. To go abroad and just teach English and fuck off for a little bit.
Yeah, and then come back later with that experience under their belts, even though it...
I mean, my brother got a degree in engineering and then he went and taught math and science in China. So, you know.
Cool.
It's kind of a similar thing.
Kind of wish I did that, but...
Oh, well.
I mean, I did briefly. I wish I went longer.
Yeah. She ended up teaching with a school called the Nova English Conversation School, and so this, I feel like, is similar to what a lot of people do, where it's not a formal, like, school system. It's not like you're teaching children or things like that. You're mostly working with adults who are hoping to learn English and to be able to speak more of it and learn it on a conversational level, not in an academic way where they teach you, like, everything.
Like a tutoring center of
sorts. About 6 months later, on March 25th, 2007, she went to a coffee shop close to her home in Gyotoku in the Chiba Prefecture. I was actually interested in what prefectures were because I was like, I don't know if I've heard this term before. Maybe I have and I just forgot about it. It like didn't occupy space in my brain. But in case you...
Kind of like province.
Yeah, they're like provinces and states in Japan. And so there are 47 of them. Which I didn't know. Maybe that could be another small fun fact. They started the system back in 1871 and started out with 300 prefectures. And this was later trimmed down to the 47 that they currently have in 1881. Lindsay was at the cafe to give an English conversation class to a student named Tatsuya Ichihashi, who was 30 years old at the time. After they wrapped up their lesson, he told her that they had to go back to his apartment, red flag, so that he could pay for his lesson. And I'm assuming that he claimed that he left his wallet at home or that he didn't have cash on him, etc.
Yeah.
Either way, they headed back to his place, which is in the Ichikawa Prefecture, and they went there by taxi because it's kind of far for them to walk.
How Lindsay... did he get there without his wallet?
Oh, dude. Oh, maybe he didn't, or maybe he said he like ran out of cash. I have no idea. Okay. Lindsay asked the taxi driver to wait for her, but apparently he left after a few minutes.
Ooh.
On March 26th, so that's the following day,
mm-hmm.
police arrived at Ichihashi's flat because Lindsay's friends had actually contacted the police to let them know that she hadn't come home and this was not really like her.
Yeah.
When they got to Ichihashi's flat, they found Lindsay's body in a bathtub filled with sand, and the bathtub was placed on his balcony. Very confusing, and also just like sad, like the bath being on the balcony is one thing, and then filling it with sand is like the other thing. That
sand,
I'm just,
I kind of get because, or actually no. So I saw a friend today, and she was telling me how yesterday she went to a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And one girl had thrown up, like, projectile vomited onto the dance floor. Like, luckily no one was there, but apparently the venue staff were, like, on it, like that. They got, like, a bucket of coffee grounds and dumped it all over the vomit so that it absorbed the smell and it absorbed, like, the liquid. And then they just swept it up and, like, it was all perfect. It's like nothing happened.
That is genius.
Right?
Wow. Okay, that's actually... I didn't know that. Now I'm going to know if a friend ever projectile vomits at a house party to do that. Coffee grounds.
Yeah.
Damn. Were they, like, fresh coffee grounds, though, or were they, like, used?
No, I'm pretty sure they were, like... actually, I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
That would be really sad.
Probably, I want to say used and dried.
Yeah. I'm like, because coffee's already, like, very limited because of climate change, and so they...
Yeah.
It's hard for them to grow crops.
I'm sure they would have used like leftover waste and not like
fresh.
Yeah,
that would be so sad,
wasting like pots worth of coffee.
I know.
So sand kind of makes sense.
Yeah, maybe to soak up the odor and things like that. Lindsay's funeral was held a month later on April 26, 2007. Hundreds of people arrived to mourn her death, including the Japanese ambassador. Unfortunately, Ichihashi had managed to get away, fleeing in only his socks and a bag of cash.
No.
And apparently there were 9 officers who got there, but he somehow managed to get away. I don't really know how, there weren't any details on it, but he got away. And this was the start of a manhunt that lasted for 2.5 years.
What?
I know I'm giving it away that it ends, but you know what? This is I'm going to go through the course of events that happens.
Yeah, fine.
On April 2nd, 2007, CCTV footage was released showing Lindsay and Ichihashi at the coffee shop where they were chatting, and they were just like having a, like, you couldn't really tell. There were, but I also read in other reports afterwards that Ichihashi had actually been like stalking her prior to this and begging her to give him English lessons. So I don't really know. It's just sort of like, all right, that's kind of suspicious. But that's how they identified him, because he was the last person that was seen with her.
Right.
He was like the main suspect that they'd had the entire time. Mm-hmm. There wasn't really anyone else that they looked at.
Yeah.
On May 23rd, Margaret Beckett, who was the foreign secretary for Britain, arrived in Tokyo, and she made an appearance in Japanese media in attempts to give the case a little bit more coverage and get people to like pay attention. They already were, but I think it was more so like, hey, can you make sure that you're on the lookout for this guy? Because like,
yeah,
freaking, he just fled.
Disappeared, yeah.
Yeah. Things remained slow for a little bit, and the police continued to receive some tips and reports, but were never able to catch him over this time. During the 2.5 year search for him, there were over 8,000 reported sightings. 8,000.
Holy.
That's a lot. I mean, some of them were probably more credible than others, but that's still a lot of tips to get.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me of that one other case in Korea where they had, like, hundreds and hundreds of reports, but this guy could not be found.
Yeah. In attempts to catch him, police even increased the reward for any information leading to his arrest from 1 million yen to 10 million yen. 1 million yen is around 11,000 Canadian, and then 10 million is just 10 times of that, so 100. Like, just over 100,000. Yeah. This was quite frustrating for the family, and they actually went to the public with their concerns at the slow progress that was being made by the Japanese police.
Yeah.
There were also often communication issues between the family and the police in terms of the timeliness of information, because sometimes they would actually hear about, like, breaking news in the case from the news rather than from the police. Mm-hmm. And so that was really frustrating for them. And you know, sometimes it could be a language barrier thing, but this is also a communication mishap where, like, you should be letting the family know, and you'd ideally be able to let them know in advance of them just finding out on the news.
Yeah.
In November of 2009, over 2 years after the murder, it was suddenly reported to the news that Ichihashi had been seen at a plastic surgery clinic.
Ooh.
The staff at the clinic noticed weird markings on the patient's left cheek, and it is later found out that these two marks are due to him trying to dig out two moles from his cheek. So he was trying to basically stick a knife and like dig out the moles, because those are
the identifiers.
Like markings, identifiers. And, you know, during the entire 2 year, 2.5 years, there were a lot of wanted posters out for him, obviously, and he actually wanted to dig out these moles afterwards because he saw a poster, basically a drawing of him that emphasized the moles on his face, and they were like, make sure you look out for this kind of thing, and so that's why he tried to dig them out.
I wonder if it was, like, in COVID times, like, how that would go, because people wear masks everywhere, like...
Yeah. I'll actually touch on it. It's kind of funny because he ended up having to wear surgical masks because, like, you're fucking bleeding from your face, you know?
Oh my god. Yeah, or couldn't you just stick band-aids on your face and call it a day? I feel like...
Yeah. Put on foundation? Like, very thick foundation. Oh, yeah. Like, what? And concealer?
I feel like there's, I don't know, workarounds on removing your moles.
Yeah. In addition to this self-attempted modification, Ichihashi also tried to change the shape of his nose, and he basically tied a string around it and tried to, like, slowly get it to be narrower and, like, try to get off, like, pieces of his nose, I guess. Like, you know how some strings, they're thin enough and sharp enough where you can, like, cut yourself, right? If you, like, tie it. Yeah, same.
How does it...
There was a very specific description of it. I didn't write it down because I didn't want to just plagiarize what that article said. But it was also, like, he basically tied it like you would. You know when you're trying... There's, like, certain meats that you have to, like, tie to get, like, when you're roasting it and stuff like that. He was basically trying to do the same sort of thing to, like, like really tie it together because it like makes an indent, right? Because it like changes the shape of your nose.
But what would he have to like pierce two holes through to like get it around?
I don't know.
Or would
it was just like the tip of his nose, I think. He was just trying to bunch
the little tip.
Yeah. Oh my god, we look like Voldemort.
Good thing this is a podcast and not a video.
Yeah. There's a reason for that. He also tried to cut off his lips twice.
Ew.
The first time, he was trying to cut off like the upper lip to make mm-hmm. it look thinner.
Mm-hmm.
The first time, he didn't go through with it because it was too painful, but he was able to succeed the second time around. I think he just found a way to be like, don't be a bitch about it. Just do it to himself. So
oh my god.
He cut off his lip. Yeah.
Dude, just put on some foundation and lipstick. Like,
yeah. It just sounds so painful.
Yeah.
Over the 2 years, he ended up saving up some money because he was operating under aliases and quote-unquote disguises or modified face features.
Yeah.
And so he saved up quite a bit of money because he ended up being able to spend it on plastic surgery because he wanted to make sure that he could stay away and he wouldn't get caught if his face looked different.
Yeah.
Apparently, he had actually been working at a construction company in Osaka to save up this money for the most part. And construction workers get paid quite a bit.
Yeah, they do.
Because it's hard labor. And so I think that's probably how he got there. Because mm-hmm. plastic surgery costs a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
He decided to spend this on two operations. One of them to get a longer and narrower nose, and then the second one to raise the bridge of his nose. It was at the second surgery at a clinic in Nagoya where the staff noticed the markings on his face. They decided to take photos of it. They sent these in to the police and filed a report of his visit. All of these photos ended up making it to the news, which is where Lindsay's family found out about it, and they were like, oh, he was spotted at a plastic surgery clinic, the fuck. So that was one thing where it was sort of just surprising to them. Like, you'd expect to hear that from people in authority, and they didn't. So it just kind of sucks. With this high profile information on the news, it was really hard for Ichihashi to stay hidden. He actually wore surgical masks throughout the entire, most of the time, because like he cut off his fucking lip, so you're just bleeding. And I think I read one article that said he wore like 3 surgical masks at certain points just to like hide his face. And probably like, I'm sure it was bleeding.
Like, yeah, he's probably picking at it all the time. He seems like the obsessive type.
Yeah. While trying to escape one last time, especially after this information of him was plastered all over the news, he arrived at the ferry terminal in Osaka dressed in a hat, sunglasses, and a surgical mask. Like, that's the mm-hmm. best you can do for a disguise. Good job. Like,
I mean, to be fair, like,
you hide half of your face, too. But I think he looks so sus. Because no one else was wearing that, and apparently someone had actually made the call into the police after seeing him. They were...
Because he looks sus?
They were like, what the fuck is this dude? Like, he looked a little sus. And he was actually trying to get to Okinawa, which is an island in South Japan.
Yeah.
There was also another... there are very different articles about, like, how he ended up getting caught. So there's that one where that person ended up calling in to the police... because they spotted him. Another one that I had read said that for the first time in over 2 years, he gave his real name to the officer who was checking his ticket. And so they were like, okay?
But like, that means like you're this not... case was pretty huge and that like people knew about him then. Hey,
I think everyone knew about him. Because the other thing too is because Lindsay's a foreign... teacher, and whenever certain things like this happen where a foreigner is involved, and you know, it just kind of gets blown up because you have different jurisdictions who have to get involved. So like the police in Britain and also the politicians in Britain are also trying to like make sure that this case gets solved.
Yeah.
So he ended up being arrested, and after his arrest, Lindsay's father, Bill Hawker, said that his arrest was a good day for their family. He also said that he wanted to travel to Japan so that he could look Ichihashi in the eyes. And I'm sure mm-hmm. it was sort of, especially after 2.5 years of not knowing, you know, who or where the person it was that like killed your daughter, because that it's a very gruesome thing to see, you know. Mm-hmm. Even Ichihashi's own father appealed to him, saying that he wanted his son to atone for what he did.
Nice.
His parents, both of whom were medical professionals who were quite higher up, they appeared publicly on TV after his arrest to publicly apologize for what he had done.
Dang.
It's just really sad because, you know, with Asian cultures, it's just your kids either bring pride or shame to your family.
Yeah, literally.
And so I think for them, it was like they obviously know what their son did was very wrong.
Dishonor on your cow, dishonor on your family, dishonor yeah. on you.
Yeah, exactly. While Ichihashi was in jail awaiting trial, he released a book. Ugh, I fucking hate it when hate people do books. This. I don't like it because it's so selfish, you know?
Yeah. It's exploitive, it's selfish, it's
yeah.
narcissistic, it's just yeah. stupid. I don't like it at all.
Me neither. He released a book titled Until the Arrest that detailed his activity over the 2.5 year period that he evaded being arrested.
Ugh.
In this book, he didn't really take additional responsibility over anything other than what he had already told investigators. Mm-hmm. He also doesn't describe his motives, but rather the entire book is just an explanation of how he managed to stay hidden. Which is just... I don't get it.
How did this get a clear? Like, how did people let this get published?
Yeah, who publishes this, right? And yeah. I think, but part of it too is if you're a publishing house that cares a lot about profits, given the high profile
yeah.
that this case received, you know that that is going to give you like a lot of publicity and obviously profits as well for the company. But it's yeah. like a morality thing, right? Like,
yeah,
why?
Ugh, I hate it.
Yeah, I don't agree with
like
with
just,
it at all.
I plagiarized that shit. I don't know.
Yeah,
like download it online.
Exactly.
I don't know. I just hate that it's available, that like people actually read this stuff. And yeah. like, yes, I get that it's like kind of interesting, but at the same time, like, he's making profits from this for sure.
Yeah. During his trial, Ichihashi admitted that he had raped and killed Hawker, but that he did not intend to kill her. In his words, he said, "Yes, I raped her. Yes, I agree that Lindsay died because of my actions, but I did not mean to kill her. Only Lindsay and I know what really happened that day, but she can no longer speak for herself because of me. It is my responsibility to tell the truth throughout this trial." And I'm like, yeah, she can't speak for herself because of you, because you fucking killed her, dude. So uh-huh. how do we... I don't know.
He's so garbage.
Yeah.
He's like acting righteous.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm doing the best thing in this situation. But you created the situation.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the people, I don't remember the term for it anymore, but the people who intentionally put others into situations of harm so that they can go in and save them to look good.
Oh, I don't know what the term is, but...
Yeah, there's a specific term for people like that, but I can't remember it right now. I think they mention it in Criminal Minds.
Probably.
Yeah.
Other than psychopath, I don't know.
Yeah, that also works. Ichihashi also explained that he wanted the royalties from his book sales to go to the family or a charity, but they declined all his offers. It's like, dude, we didn't even ask you. We didn't ask.
Yeah, literally.
Did we ask you to write a book about how you evaded capture after killing our daughter? No, we didn't.
He literally is like trying to act like the good guy.
Yeah. The Chiba District Court ultimately ruled that there was intent to kill because he had strangled her to death, and in the autopsy, there were clear markings around her neck that showed a lot of pressure and sustained pressure.
Yeah, and it takes a long time to strangle someone.
Yeah, so that's why they just didn't think that this, him saying that, oh, I didn't intend to kill her, like, you always have enough time to stop strangling someone.
Yeah.
The judge said, quote, he raped her to satisfy his sexual desire, then tried to cover up the rape by killing her. He then attempted to conceal the murder by abandoning her body. The crime was inexcusable and savage. He has repeated irrational, unnatural statements that are contradicted by the evidence. We do not believe that he has reflected on his crime from the bottom of his heart. And this was from Judge Masaya Hota.
Go off, Judge Masaya Hota.
Yeah. I always love hearing the statements that judges make when they're delivering their ruling.
Sometimes.
Yeah, because these criminals deserve it too, right? Yeah. They deserve to be basically just scolded to the extent of their ass. Like, that's what they also deserve their sentencing, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they deserve to be publicly humiliated by the judge as well.
Huh? Yeah, yeah.
I'm here for the public humiliation of horrible people.
Me too. Bill Hawker, Lindsay's father, asked the prosecutors to pursue the maximum penalty of the death penalty. Instead, prosecutors demanded life in prison because the court had didn't consider the death sentence because Ichihashi had no criminal record, and they also thought that there was still enough time for him to figure out his life and get, you know, get better in the sense of, like, not doing that again. And it's really hard. He was 30.
Oh. Yeah, that is kind of young.
Kind of. But it's also not young enough for you to not understand what you're doing.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Still
yeah,
for be sure, for sure. Still act like an impulsive person and to kill someone. So yeah, I don't know. It's still I know what you're saying though.
Yeah.
it's just harder to, like, make sense of it when it's a murderer rather.
Yeah.
Like, no, in other cases I'm like, yeah, they can change, but this one I'm like, they killed somebody though.
Yeah, and they ran away for 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So they knew exactly what they were doing, and they wrote a book about how they knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah. So is he guilty? He's guilty, but I don't think he feels guilty. Instead of the death sentence, they went ahead and sentenced him to life in prison. And this has a minimum of 10 years before being eligible for parole. So technically those 10 years are up.
Oh my God.
I couldn't find any recent articles on him and, like, what's up.
Yeah. It's so hard to.
Yeah. And this sentencing happened in 2011. So it's, like, literally just up.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, if we ever get an update and we see something, then we'll probably just put it into the beginning of another episode. But
yeah. Post it on Instagram or something.
Exactly. Although this was not the death penalty that Bill Hawker had initially demanded, the entire family was still satisfied with the final verdict, as it was a form of justice for their daughter.
Yeah. At least she finally got him. He didn't run free.
Yeah. Ugh. And that's honestly all the information that we have on everything that's happened in this case. I think it's sad to see that it's still very unsafe for a woman to be in other countries sometimes, or, like, traveling solo in general. Yeah. Like, I would love to travel solo. Will I? No, because I don't want to fucking die.
But to be fair, it is dangerous for a woman in your own home country.
Yeah. Like anywhere.
Yeah, literally anywhere there's, like, a risk. So might as well, like, risk your life abroad, you know?
Yeah.
Can you tell I like to travel?
Yes. I mean, it's a lot of fun to travel, and I think it's good to see the world and see different places other than where you've grown up. I think that's very important to be able to do that in life. I mean, also, obviously, having the privilege and the economic means to do so is one thing, too.
Uh-huh.
But learning about different places is a lot of fun. But just be safe. There are lots of tips out there. There are actually quite a few people who do travel solo, and I think they, you know, you can find a lot of people like that online now that you can get tips from if you ever want to do that. But
for sure, for sure.
Really sad that Lindsay died so young. She's my age, basically. No. She died at how old I am right now.
She's 23?
Like 22.
22. You're 22?
Yeah. I'm 23. I just turned 23, but it was 22.
Oh, okay.
22.
I could have sworn you were 23.
Yeah. But it's just really sad to see someone who is very young and also just trying to figure her life out. She was only there for 6 months.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he got caught though, because then it sets a precedent for anyone else who wants to try something similar. You won't get away with it.
Yeah, and it also gives the family closure and the ability to see the person that did this to your daughter get the justice that he deserves and to be sentenced to life in prison.
Yeah.
So if we have any other updates on this case, be sure that we will post it somewhere. We'll announce it, keep you guys updated. But that's all for today.
Well, thank you so much, Leanne, for that one sad case. I hope it encourages you to travel safely. Always let your friends know where your location is and where you are. And always travel in groups if you can.
Yeah.
If you're solo traveling, though, make sure people have tabs on you. Gabby was traveling with her mans, but she always told her parents where she was.
Yeah. Keep people updated. Couldn't. Send pictures whenever you're able to. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, if you have an itinerary of general locations, send that to your friends so that they know where you're supposed to be.
And I think it's always good to have people, you know, hey, if I don't respond to you by this day, something's wrong, you know.
Yeah.
Have multiple checkpoints with people that you trust.
Yes.
Whether in the country you're in or somewhere else. Anyway, so thank you so much. If you enjoyed our episode and would like to listen to more episodes, feel free to follow us on Instagram at incrimination, and check out our show notes at bit.ly/incrimination. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcast. And I think that's it.
That's it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.